It's showtime.
Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. We're off and running for this fourth day of October 2018. What we refer to most days of the week as Thorn in the Side Thursday. And we've got a veritable thicket's worth of thorns. Feel free to say that several times as quickly as you possibly can. Hi. I'm Bob Kincaid, and yes, headon.live is where we live, and that's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, madcap, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. Just pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump right in, and you will be eagerly and happily greeted by the likes of Little Thunder and Otto and VT Blom and others as they wander along, and, well, you know, you'll be capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has decided to fold space and become Man Cave this evening because there are gentle rains falling in Northern California and, Sparky reports, even a rainbow. Yes, even a rainbow. And, well, at the beginning of the program, at the beginning of every program, we extend thanks to our subscribers here. In point of fact, let's see. Thanks go out this evening for subscribers on the fourth day of the month, and that would include Paul. Thank you, Paul, and Catherine in California. It would also include just a minute. There we Kelly. Thank you, Kelly. And thanks very kindly to Thomas. Thanks, one and all, for helping to keep independent, liberal, progressive, unbeholden media on the air. That's how we do it. And our subscribers keep do about, a quarter of the heavy lifting every month. And we rely on folks listening to the podcast and listening live on an ad hoc basis for the other three quarters. We caught up to everything but yesterday, so we are... We're a day behind, and then tonight. So the current fundraising goal to by the end of this evening is something on the order of it's exactly $400. Yesterday's fundraising goal plus tonight's fundraising goal, and well, we kind of need to keep up with that. The PayPal link and the Patreon link are both over at headon.live. And, well, we need all the help we can get. Because, once again, it's one of those lovely months where the month begins by being sort of poleaxed by bills you didn't expect to have to be paying. right at the time when you were paying all the other bills. Yeah, no kidding. Well, that's how it goes, though. But we need to raise the, you know, 400 bucks, 10 at 40, 40 at 10, and all the other ciphering that goes with it. By program's end. You know, it would be even awesomer if we raised it all by, say, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. That would be nice. But it doesn't happen a lot. I just hate talking about fundraising every evening instead of talking about what this program's about. But you know what I mean. You know what I mean by that. Let's see here. Where to begin with this thorn in the side Thursday? You know, you can't really go wrong starting out with the one of the largest thorns of all, namely, you know, the National Ruble, I mean Rifle, no, definitely Ruble Association. Update coming from David from South Carolina, who shared with us the breaking news yesterday evening as the program started about the outbreak of Second Amendment freedom that was taking place even as we spoke. The suspect in the South Carolina police ambush yesterday evening was identified as an elderly Vietnam veteran, identified as Fred Hopkins, who was quietly and peacefully taken into the custody after him fall down and get boo-boo. He wasn't, to the best, now to be fair, he wasn't, to the best of my knowledge, taken to Burger King or anything after shooting seven sheriff's deputies and killing his wife as well. But he was taken alive into custody instead of being chopped into teeny tiny pieces by the weapons fire of the sheriff's office in question. Mm-hmm. The whole thing began when local law enforcement showed up to serve a search warrant. The search warrant had to do with the abuse of a foster child that was alleged to be, well, alleged abuse of a foster child inside the home. And 74-year-old Fred Hopkins, who had bragged about his marksmanship skills, he put his training to work and used the upstairs windows of the mansion. It was mansion-ish, okay? Big red brick affair. And he went from window to window to window and put down a galling field of fire, barricaded himself inside, and used children as human shields in what is described as his upscale suburban neighborhood. Among other things, CBS News reporting that police have been called to the home dozens of times over the years. And they said he was perched like a sniper. He hit three of the sheriff's deputies. Four Florence, South Carolina police officers were later shot, trying to render backup. And yes, he's bragged about being a competitive marksman. He bragged about how he took his children shooting with him. ...52-year-old Terrence Caraway of Darlington, South Carolina, was the officer murdered. He'd been 30 years on the Florence Police Department force. He was a man of color. And was the, well, the one to die. His chief, Alan Heidler, said, "I want you to pray for the family who lost the bravest police officer I've ever known." We could. People could pray. If you're the praying sort, I certainly can't stop you from praying. But I might suggest that, well, if blue lives matter, that maybe doing something about people who stockpile weapons capable of being used as sniper weapons Doing something about that might actually be a better and more fitting honor to the legacy of Officer Carraway. Eventually, they had to bring in an armored personnel carrier to pick up the officers who'd been shot because freedom. Florence County Sheriff Kenny Boone, giving a news conference, said officers went there not knowing the firepower the suspect had. Fire was being shot all over. The way the suspect was positioned, his view of fire was several hundred yards, so he had an advantage. The officers couldn't get to the ones who were down. And they made sure to point out that thanks to the fact that they had an Army surplus MRAP, Armored Personnel Carrier, that they were able to get to the officers who were shot. And they still don't know how many shots were fired or how many weapons were used, because there were so many shots fired. Just to give you a little sense of what it all sounded like, our friend David in South Carolina sent along some audio of, and it's a great wide flat swath of ground. South Carolina can be like that, which means the guy had a tremendous field of fire.
Keep it.
And let's see here, who's still running their mouth? Okay, you need to hush. Here we go. Highly unlikely that that's shotgun fire. Probably not even pistol fire. Given the rate, not very likely to be, say, bolt action 30-06 fire. No, that's sounds very much like a semi-automatic assault rifle blast. And just to put the whole thing in perspective, I was checking some firearm prices as a result of this story, and it's surprisingly affordable. I found one 5.56 NATO round semi-automatic assault weapon for $485. And of course, as we're constantly reminded by the NRA, those are really neat, groovy, keen weapons, because, well, you can modify them so easy. They're modular, so you can take a piece of that and a piece of that and some aftermarket this and some other market that, and you can put you can put magazines on them that'll hold 100 rounds and just shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot. 'Cause freedom. Because everybody needs a semi-automatic assault rifle until they don't. Just like everybody's a lawful gun owner until they aren't. Yeah. So, condolences to Florence, South Carolina, where the NRA roulette wheel of death stopped yesterday. Oh, but goody. Julius Geezer tweeted some thoughts and prayers. Meanwhile, not to be outdone, maggot Governor Henry McMaster went to the Twitter machine, too, where he said,
This is simply devastating news from Florence. The selfless acts of bravery from the men and women in law enforcement is real, just like the power of prayer is real.
I don't know how the law enforcement folks down there feel about it, but given that the power of prayer is not real, given that it cannot be demonstrated to have ever done anybody one damn bit of good, I think if I was a member of law enforcement down there, I would feel a little bit pissed off at being compared to something being said that I'm every bit as imaginary as the power of prayer. Because that's what that statement is.
The selfless acts of bravery from the men and women in law enforcement is real, just like the power of prayer is real.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Bobby Goen, who lives in Vintage Place, where the McMansions are, Bobby said, "Surprised is probably an understatement. The worst thing that goes on around here is that someone runs a stop sign and gets posted on Facebook." Yeah, only it's not. You know, one never... the guy had problems. And the question remains why a guy who has problems like that, a disabled Vietnam veteran, was able to keep an arsenal of weapons. But the entire community had had problems. Florence, South Carolina, in the greater drainage of the PD River, well... there was record flooding in the PD watershed, and who knows? Maybe that played a little bit into the into whatever it was that caused good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Fred Hopkins to decide to slaughter people. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't see it that way, but that's true. Lee in New York says, subject line, ciphering. Observing, affordable semi-automatic firearms, semi-automatic rifles. You need to put your ciphering skills to use, Bob. For about the cost of a semi-automatic rifle, you can wipe out the fundraising deficit here at the Horn. It's all context, says Lee. It's true. It's true. Never thought of comparing the price of an assault rifle to what we do to keep the Horn on the air here. But it is absolutely true. There it is. Well, okay, for less than the Horn's fundraising deficit this evening. There it is. The ATI Omni Hybrid Max P3M4 Flat Top 223 Caliber 5.56 Semi-Automatic 30-Round 16-Inch Semi-Automatic Assault Rifle. With ATI's fully patented Omni Hybrid Max Metal Reinforced Polymer Upper and Lower Receivers. It has a 1/8-inch twist and a black nitrite finish, and P3 model has an M4 adjustable stock with an A2 style handguard and a Surefire Nano composite parts kit, and it can be yours. It can absolutely be yours for the low price, wait for it, of $349.98. Yeah. If you've got $349.98 laying around, and, you know, you maybe got a little animus against your local law enforcement, and you're sick and tired of your of your spouse, and there's somebody showing up to serve a search warrant based on allegations of abuse against a foster child in the home. Well, for $349.98, and you can walk right out the door with it. You fill in the fill in the magazine, not a clip. Goddammit, the NRA people get upset if you call it a clip when it's a magazine. They're very tetchy that way. But yeah, for $350, you can rain death and destruction on your local law enforcement agency, because freedom. Ain't that just make you want to crank up the Lee Greenwood to 11 and sang God Bless the USA? It sure does me. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. No word on the cost of the funeral for Officer Carraway. Probably going to cost a whole lot more than any $349.98. Isn't that spectacular? Isn't that just breathtaking? I'll confess, I did not have the nerve to didn't have the nerve to ponder. Oh, Jesus. At least says, I didn't expect to see my comment turned into the NRA version of eBay. Don't forget the shipping and handling charge. Well, hey, also in that ad, there's no shipping and handling. $349.98, period. Fill out the paperwork, check the little box that says I'm not crazier than a shithouse roach, and they'll ship it to your local to your local store, and you can pick it up, and away you go. Because, as Officer Terrence Carraway proved last night, the Tree of Liberty must be watered from time to time with the blood of tyrants and patriots. It is its natural manure, said Thomas Jefferson. Now, I'm pretty sure, given his 30-year career there with the Florence Police Department, Officer Carraway was not a tyrant. That must mean he was a patriot. And so the NRA Tree of Liberty Award should be delivered to the grieving family of 52-year-old Terrence Carraway of Darlington. Jesus. Isn't that just something? Well, it is something. And the something that it is something that is not going to be done anything about. And hey, those 5.56 caliber NATO round chambered semi-automatic assault rifles? Well, dang. Those things are in common use. So poor, put-upon, bedraggled, heartbroken, spitting, ice-throwing, carrying-on Brett Kavanaugh, he says that it's just fine for as many good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gundamentalist, ammosexual Americans to have them kind of assault rifles. Because the Second Amendment ain't got no language in it about being in no militia. Even if it looks like it does, fat dead Tony Scalia done explained to us that them words ain't really there. That they don't mean nothing. That it's just kind of like the flourish on a person's signature. The way with your turkey quill feather fountain pen
after you sign your name there, and you go swoobity, 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 swoop underneath your signature. That's just a flourish.
Jack in Shreveport, NRA gun special, free shipping. If it doesn't exist already, maybe the NRA and right wingers will try to get something like the postal book rate for shipping guns.
So that's Florence, South Carolina. But tomorrow it could be Florence, Alabama, or Rome, Georgia, or Rome, New York, or Ithaca, New York, or Athens, Georgia. Right? Yeah. Or Naples, Florida. Sure. Why not? Because the NRA, flush with all that Russian money and Russian intentions. Well, they're thrilled to pieces every time it happens. $349.98. By the way, we're 26 minutes into the program. We haven't taken any kind of a bite out of the fundraising goal this evening. Not likely to. Anybody out there that's saving up their nickels for a slap year to be able to buy themselves a semi-automatic assault rifle, not likely they're going to say, you know what I'm going to do? Yeah, I'm going to keep that liberal, independent, progressive radio on the air for another week or so. That's what I'm going to do. No, that's probably not going to happen. Oh, but speaking of Mother Russia, heroic son of Mother Russia announced to be dead today. Da. It was a terribly, terribly sad affair. Da. Very, very sad. It's heartbreaking, broken in Mother Russia as heroic son of Mother Russia has gone to his reward, he's gone off to heaven after attempt to fly new Russian helicopter made with fuel comprised entirely of lead. Russian Deputy Attorney General Sok Albertovich Karpetyan has gone to long home. He was in helicopter crash. Media for Mother Russia say he died yesterday night when helicopter him in crash into forest during unauthorized flight in Kostroma region northeast of Moscow. Karpetyan was 58 years old when he became hero of Russian Federation. Had previously been Deputy Attorney General of Russia until found out what he'd been up to. It was 2016, you see. 2016 when it was discovered that he knew about many operations ordered by cuddly, huggable, snuggly Vladimir Putin. In fact, he worked very, very closely with Natalia Veselnitskaya. Mm-hmm. Yes, very closely. Also, him running high-profile efforts to thwart international investigation into Russian, skullduggery. Then, for some reason we do not know, he decided to fly lead helicopter into forest. He plummeted to death. The people in Switzerland earlier this year, they exposed Deputy Attorney General Sock Albertovich Karpetian as part of plot to turn law enforcement agent in another country into double agent for Mother Russia Kremlin. Yeah, I guess we're pretty much sick of hearing old Ivan Kincaid, aren't we? But it's true. The guy had been exposed, and having had his cover blown, well, he had to go on that helicopter flight from whose bourne no man hath yet returned. Wonder how that makes little Natalia Veselnitskaya feel. None too secure, perhaps? Interesting that he was a deputy attorney general. I mean, I won't go down the same road as the maggots do. When they go, 17 words! Marveline, you hear that? 17 words! Dear leader's got it all under control. 17 words! But, yeah. Damnedest thing, deputy attorney general. Hey, Rod, I know you're a Republican and everything, and I know you were sitting there watching the Kavanaugh hearings, eagerly hoping that Brett would make it to the Supreme Court. But, buddy, stay off helicopters for a little bit. And for Pete's sake, don't go on any unauthorized flights to Kostroma region. Yeah, don't do that. Strange business. But of course, it's only coinky dinky. Because everything happens bad in Russia, always coinky dinky. It's coinky dinky that we get news today. That more Russian agents have been exposed for more of that skullduggery. Involving doping of athletes and hacking of other athletes' profiles to make look like they are doing also the doping. It's coinky dinky. Because Vlad Putin is fun guy, who rides tigers bare chested. Who would not want to be hanging out with that? Thank you, Alexander. That's pinko commie behavior to support progressive independent thought talk radio, Brother Kincaid. Why do we need that when we have others removed from the everyday realities of the 90 to 99% of that doing that for us? Well, see, that's how it works, but, you know, hey, we might have a fighting chance. At least we're started this evening. Oh, well, a note coming from Brother Deacon Asa. This is so you'll stop it with the Ivan Kincaid shtick. You might as well be blasting Ted Nugent in our ears, goddammit. Well, all right. I can be paid off. So at least we got $380 to go in fundraising. That must really have been grating on the poor brother Deacon ears. Yeah. But I have to do stories out of Mother Russia with the Ivan Kinkajdzic. In fact, that's his last name, Kinkajdzic. Bunch of killjoys. All right. I'll stop. It won't be easy, but I'll stop. Matt in San Francisco, by the way, who sent along photos of his mid-century antique furniture decor that was absolutely lovely. The kitchen table area just looks like the perfect place to sit for coffee and a cruller or a donut or maybe even bacon and eggs. It's lovely, and I'm not being a smartass. It is absolutely lovely. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Brett. Do you think he'll be confirmed after everything official and otherwise that's entered the public consciousness in the last week? I absolutely do. I absolutely think he's going to be confirmed. They'll start the process on a cloture vote tomorrow, which is meaningless anyway because there's no such thing as filibustering a Supreme Court nominee anymore, thanks to chinless Mitch McConnell. We had big news today, something I thought I would never hear. Senator Heidi Heitkamp of North Dakota, allegedly a Democrat. Announced that she, by God, will vote against the nomination of the guy who threw the temper tantrum hissy fit with purple polka-dotted, nine-tailed, crocheted-tailed kittens in front of the Senate Committee on the Judiciary. She's going to vote against him. Joe Donnelly in Indiana, also up against a tough re-election fight, said, screw it, I'm voting against him. That leaves Joe Manchin. Well, and the Republicans. But you got to get Joe Manchin to vote against him, too. Because, Marty, with a question about the outbreak of Second Amendment freedom there in Florence, South Carolina. Marty says, I take it this shooter was not a black man? No, he was not. No. That's how come he's still alive. But he did get a boo-boo. But Joe Manchin, you know, if Joe Manchin votes yes, then it's pretty much game over. We've gamed out those various scenarios. That leaves pretty much, unless there are Republicans who are just keeping their mouth shut, that leaves, well, Flake and his quiver full of rubber-tipped arrows, and Lisa Murkowski, and noted moderate who votes with Donald Trump more a hell of a lot more times than she doesn't, Susan Collins of Maine. I figure Brett Kavanaugh will be a member of the Supreme Court of the United States by Sunday morning, which is sickening to contemplate. And the will of the people, at least the will of a lot of people in the United States, if statistics are to be believed, has been manifested all day long in Washington, D.C. Tremendous protests at the Capitol and the Supreme Court. Mm-hmm. But speaking of Joe Manchin, I find it kind of interesting. Joe said that he was actually run out of the secure room where senators were able to view the only copy of the dummied up, faked up, frauded up, rubed up, ginned up, scammed up supplemental FBI investigation that doesn't include, interviews with at least 10 people with relevant information who weren't interviewed, that doesn't include them because they weren't interviewed by the FBI, because the FBI, well, just they weren't allowed to do that investigation. The FBI wasn't. Joe's still playing his cards close to his vest. Said he might make his decision after he reads the document. That's not helpful, because as Dianne Feinstein said earlier, and I realize she's far from being ideologically pure enough, but she said that what the real story of that FBI so-called report is not what's in it, but what isn't. Because there's a whole lot that's not in it. But they got one copy and one room where senators can go and see it. Well, Joe got thrown out of the room today. He was sitting there trying to read it, and Joe has to lick his finger and follow his finger along when he's reading stuff. And he's not. I get the idea. Joe has never had an Evelyn Wood speed reading course or anything. And he was trying to work through all the big words. And the Republicans kept leaning over his shoulder and just said, "See, look here. Didn't do it. Look here, Joe, look here. He didn't do it. It's right there in big letters. He didn't do it. Ain't you read enough, Joe? Come on, Joe, gotta go." And they literally ran him out of the room while he was trying to read the thing, the non-report. And so he has to come back tomorrow. Because said, hey, Joe, you gotta get out of here. It's the Republicans' turn to read on the report some. And he says he has to come back tomorrow to finish, and then he'll make his decision about whether or not to put a guy credibly accused of attempted sexual assault. And never, okay, I don't even like the way this sounds. If I say never mind that, I don't mean never mind that, but If you take that in the light most favorable to Brett Kavanaugh, namely that he didn't do it, that he might decide to vote in favor of a guy who repeatedly perjured himself about any number of matters in his confirmation hearing, in addition to the spittle-laced kittens with crocheted tails, tantrum hissy that Brett threw last week. Yeah. If you would care to read it, if you go over to Senator Patrick Leahy's Twitter feed, he very carefully lays out the issues dealing with Manny Miranda, who stole documents from Democrats in the Senate and then disseminated them to Brett Kavanaugh, and Brett Kavanaugh read them and said, don't refer to me, say sources. Because Brett was planning on being on the Supreme Court for a very long time, because he worked his tail off at Yale, and he didn't have any connections, and he darn sure didn't throw his drink at a guy that he thought was the lead singer for UB40. He didn't do any of that. It's just a bunch of scurrilous rumors. And then there was John Cornyn earlier today, at the little news conference that him and Chuck Astley and Orrin Hatch and, all those white men, old, cranky white men, privileged white men, had to talk about the dodgy, faked-up, ginned-up, rubed-up non-report from the FBI. John Cornyn got up and said, "We treated Dr. Ford fairly, and I would be proud for her, for my mother or my daughter or my wife to be treated like we treated Dr. Ford. Yeah, he actually said that. Speaking of how they treated Dr. Ford, a member of Senator Cornyn's party, there in North Carolina, Stan, published a photo that you can find in various compilations of awkward photos from the 80s, bad high school photos. You've seen them around on the, and they make the rounds on social media and something. Ha, ha, ha. Boy, I tell you what, that terrible photo. According to the Charlotte News and Observer, one Lanny Lancaster, who's the county chairman of the Cabarrus County Republican Party, shared a photo that he said was a picture of Dr. Ford as a little girl. It's a picture of a teenage girl with big old Coke bottle bottom glasses and braces on her teeth. And he said, "This is the alleged sexual assault victim. Wow." And, Frank McNeil, who is a congressional candidate there in that district, sent out an email saying, "Now Republican attacks on Dr. Blasey Ford are coming from inside our own 8th district. Cabarrus County Republican Chair Lanny Lancaster posted his nastiness on Facebook just last night." And that, you know, that's what he posted. "This is the alleged sexual assault victim. Wow." And when contacted, he said, "Well, I didn't say anything. I just said this is her picture. Basically, the media is distorting the facts on this lady. Everything she said is made up. She has no evidence whatsoever. I support that theory. The media wants you to think she was a beautiful young lady who was on her way home from the tennis courts. I just wanted you to see the real person. I wanted people to see this is really her. I didn't say anything isn't actually true, saying that it's her picture was fake news. It's not Dr. Ford. Instead, it's a 2012 meme that's been circulating the internet for years." Okay, I probably screwed that up with the accent. The photo is not her. The photo is not Dr. Ford, even a little bit. The real photo of Dr. Ford from that era has been circulating for quite some time now. But what Lanny Lancaster circulated was meant to explain to good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, North Carolina Republican Christians that little 15-year-old doctor, 15-year-old Christine Blasey at the time, well, she was too homely to rape. Yep, there's your party of Jesus Christ. There's your Republicans for you. It started out, apparently, over at 4chan, where the ha-ha pranksters claimed that the photo was of Ford. Now, 4chan is also a haven for Nazis and skinhead and Klansmen. So that tells you where Lanny Lancaster's been wandering around, doesn't it? The photo shows up in bad 80s hairstyles, bad yearbook photos. Somewhere out there, there's a human being, you know, mocked. You know, kind of like the Renata alumnus mockery that Brett Kavanaugh engaged in. Yeah. Jesus, these people. And, of course, at the press conference today, the petulant, pissing and moaning Republican said, and so too did Julius Geezer, complained about presumption of innocence and due process is on the line. It's a dangerous time for our country. And I don't have to say this to you. I know that. But it does bear reiteration that the presumption of innocence is something that only attaches to criminal proceedings. Innocent until proven guilty. Well, you're not guilty. You can't be guilty of anything in any setting other than a criminal proceeding. In a civil suit, you can't be guilty. You can be liable. Not liable, L-I-B-E-L, but liable, L-I-B-L-E. You can be liable in a civil suit, whether it be for breach of contract or a rear-ender car accident. You can be found liable. That means you have to pay. One of those ancient legal thingamajigs. All liability is based on fault. Goes all the way back to a couple of brawling soldiers of His Majesty the King in Merry Old England. And one of them most grievously harmed the other when they was a-practicing with their swords. And the fellow that got hurt went to the local authorities, and the fellow that accidentally cut him said, Well, King, I didn't mean to. We's just practicing. And, you know, based on what we know about Old English, it may have actually sounded a little bit like that. And the king, he said, Well, see here now. You're one of my soldiers, and you're one of my soldiers, and I need the both of you to be fully able to go and fight the French or whoever it is I feel like, or maybe, you know, slaughter some Scots or kill some Welshmen. I need you, or God knows the Irish, I need you hale and healthy. And he says, I don't care whether you meant to or not. You done it. Thou didst it. Didst thou not? Oh, yea, verily and forsooth, I did. But I meantest not to, your grace. And the king, he says, careth I not. For having done so, thou shouldst be liable to pay two chickens and a setting hen for the damage thou hast done to my soldier, and payeth it unto him. For yea, verily, all liability be based upon fault, and it is clearly thy fault that thou didst wail the living dickens out of my soldier. Be thou gone from my sight. Pay thee at the office of the clerk. We do not accepteth checketh. And so, I didn't mean to. Doesn't carry much in the way of weight. But at no point in time did the king look at the miscreant and say, Varlet, thou art guilty. For the villain was not on trial for his life. For back then, all felonies, which, you know, deliberately hacking somebody in the arm would be, were punishable by death. They were all capital crimes. And he didn't say, thou art guilty. He said, thou art liable. But try telling that to a bunch of prissy, pissant Republican senators. Or, God knows, the Chlamydia Claudius in the White House. Presumption of innocence is under attack. Well, you know what? If we could get around to charging Brett Kavanaugh with something, say kidnapping, false imprisonment, attempted rape, then he would be afforded the presumption of innocence, because that would be a criminal charge. And you know what? There's really not much in the way of due process rights in those hearings either. Because if the nominee had due process rights, then the minority would have some due process rights. But the due process rights of the minority, they disappeared a long time ago. Fact of the matter is, and I don't know why it's so goddamn difficult to explain this. Well, it's not really difficult to explain. It's difficult to get the airtime to do it with, you know, over there in the for-profit media. The fact of the matter is, the burden of proof in one of these confirmation hearings is upon the confirmee, the nominee. You don't march in there with everybody just assuming you're competent, and then you have to rebut that presumption. No, the burden is upon the nominee to demonstrate the skills and abilities and temperament necessary to inhabit the office. And I would submit that it's probably a higher burden for an office that involves a lifetime tenure. And when you go in and you throw a spit-laden, water-gulping, kittens with crocheted tails, hissy-fit tizzy, that you have not only failed to meet your burden, you've rebutted your own suitability for the job for which you were nominated. But that's me. Meanwhile, in one of the worst hires ever made by NBC News, you get who? Yeah, of course. Ugh. Megyn Kelly. Who, having been to law school, still can't be bothered to give her viewing audience an accurate recitation of what the law is. And so, over there on NBC, on the Today Show this morning, well, you get this.
End of it. You don't have a fighting chance. Now you got to do all this stuff just to prove it. And by then, they don't cover it with the same intensity.
No.
And that's part of the issue.
That's the thing. It's like, as Julie Swetnick's claims have collapsed against Brett Kavanaugh, where's the media talking about that, about the litany of...
Well, they didn't collapse.
...when it comes to truthfulness and so on? No, we've been covering it here. What do people say? You're victim shaming.
Right.
Come on. We are allowed to look at the credibility of an accuser. And that doesn't... And we as women need to be careful because...
Be careful,
there's
women.
There's a presumption of guilt in all cases. How are we going to get people...
Now, pay close attention, careful women. Pay close attention. Because she's going to talk about that presumption of guilt.
And we as women need to be careful because if there's a presumption of guilt in all cases, how are we going to get people to listen to us in the next case?
And Megan, there's another danger.
Oh, there's another danger. If there's a presumption of guilt in all cases, how are we going to get people to listen to us? Well, there's no presumption of guilt because there's no fucking presumption because there's no criminal case! Stupid, stupid, stupid human being. But wait, no, it's not stupidity. This is deliberate. This is Megyn Kelly. Remember, you can take the woman out of Fox, but you can't take the fox out of the woman. Carrying her Fox News right-wing Radio Rwanda message over to NBC. She knows what the reality is. She's not that ignorant. But you can't be telling the rubes the truth when your agenda toward political power outweighs any agenda of factuality. But we've got more problems. Oh, yes.
Of this, and we've seen it on college campuses in terms of anecdotal evidence, and that's the racial angle. And on college campuses, disproportionately, young men of color are accused of these crimes and then are put in a situation where they can't defend themselves. So we need to be...
Notice how this lady, and I have no idea who she is, she's a woman of color, goes to the very real problem of allegations against young black men. But she does it in service of what the lie that Megyn Kelly has just told. There is a real problem with getting appropriate, accurate, zealous defense in criminal cases for young black men, and that has been the case for 400 years. But to make the case that Brett Kavanaugh was born a poor black child, well, it doesn't really wash, does it? At least not for me. At least, no. Oh, there it is.
It was never easy for me. I was born a poor black child.
Do you see how they manipulate an idea? We go from Megyn Kelly talking about the presumption of innocence being shifted, and she's got a woman sitting there ready to compare a credible allegation of attempted sexual assault against Brett Kavanaugh. Well, she basically turns Brett Kavanaugh into a poor black child. Zowie.
In the next case.
And Megyn, there's another danger of this, and we've seen it on college campuses in terms of anecdotal evidence, and that's the racial angle. And on college campuses, disproportionately, young men of color are accused of these crimes and then are put in a situation where they can't defend themselves. So we need to be very careful about how we walk down this
Absolutely.
Road.
Absolutely. What happened on college campuses is sort of a harbinger of what's been going on in the country, where we swung the pendulum so far back against men, took away their due process rights. They don't have the right to cross-examine. They don't have the right to an attorney. They don't have the right to evidence. They don't have the right to see emails, for example, that a woman accusing them has sent, maybe saying it was consensual. They don't have that right. Or they didn't under President Obama, and he was trying to do a good thing, but overcorrected. Something I said on the air, and his former education secretary, Arne Duncan, called me a liar. Guess what, Arne?
Really? So we go from blithely talking about something that doesn't exist for Brett Kavanaugh to turning him into a poor black child to but Obama? Wowzer.
Why don't you come on this show and say we'll have a debate. All right, our panel is sticking around because we're going to discuss a candy controversy. Candy cane flavors that may have some people ask.
It's all wrestling now, isn't it? Woo!
Woo!
Oh, and by the way, the woman of color there, that was conservative pundit Amy Holmes. Nobody's due process rights have been compromised. None. But isn't that precious? That a guy who lives in a $1 million home, who has had $500,000 in debt miraculously disappear, who has lived a pampered and cosseted life all his days, is suddenly some sort of put-upon victim of the machine? The Republican Party has put itself on full and broad display. Jamelle Bouie, tweeted earlier today, Senator Cornyn, the same guy who said that Dr. Ford was treated in the way that he would be fine with having his wife and mother and daughter treated, Senator Cornyn, defending Kavanaugh, quote, "We remember that Atticus Finch was a lawyer who did not believe that a mere accusation was synonymous with guilt. He represented an unpopular person who many people presumed was guilty of a heinous crime because of his race and his race alone." Well, it's a good thing I didn't go ahead and delete that, isn't it? Very good thing, a good thing indeed.
It was never easy for me. I was born a poor black child.
We may have to keep that around. Mm-hmm. Of course, I don't know. Is Senator Cornhole so old that he can't recall that Atticus Finch was not a real person? Thanks, Agnes, for sending that quote along. A lawyer who did not believe that a mere accusation was synonymous with guilt. Of course, Atticus Finch, if we assume for a moment that he was real, which he wasn't, and if we pretend for a moment that we didn't read the follow-up, Go Set a Watchman, and found out that Atticus Finch was a hardcore, miserable white citizens council supporting racist who was upset about outside agitators coming in here and trying to get these niggers all worked up. It's just in the book. It's in the book. We might perhaps take a moment to point out that Tom Robinson in the fictional book To Kill a Mockingbird, which is a lovely book. It's a lovely and troubling and troublesome book that has a lot of stuff in it about race that makes white folks feel good. But yeah, it's troubling. This ain't the literary criticism hour. But Tom Robinson was actually charged with rape. In that story, that fictional story, he was charged with the rape of Mayella Yule, who it turned out had saved up her nickels for a slap year so that she could afford to send all the other Yules off to get an ice cream cone while she tried for all she was worth to have sex with Tom Robinson. That's all what the whole business about. Boy, come on down here and help me with busting up this here shifferobe was about. But, well, you know, maybe that's what Senator Cornhole was referring to. And I wonder how much damage has been done over the years by that book. In regard to false accusations of rape. But any way you slice it, Tom Robinson was charged with the crime of rape. No one has charged Brett Kavanaugh with not a goddamn thing. You know, then there's, there's all kinds of wonderful quotes in that book. Like when Atticus says, "I wanted you to know, Jim, that courage is not a man with a gun in his hand. Courage is when you know you're licked, but you begin anyway, and you see it through. You don't often win, but sometimes you do." Much more of this, and they'll be trying to touch the hem of all those goddamn Republicans will be trying to touch the hem of Brett Kavanaugh's robe. Well, the women won't, but pasty faced, tired old, cranky ass Republican white men will, white senators. Did you know that never, not once, no, never has there ever been a female Republican senator sit on the Senate Committee on the Judiciary? Not once, not ever. How's about that? Meanwhile, Todd with a note. Subject line, beyond reproach. As far as I understand, judges are supposed to be beyond reproach, hence the title Honorable Justice, not Dishonorable. Well, that's kind of out the window. But the nice thing about that is that once he's on the court, Brett Kavanaugh won't ever have to recuse himself again. Because whether or not to recuse oneself is strictly a matter of personal willingness. The rest of the court can't force him to recuse. No one can force a member of the Supreme Court to step away from a conflict of interest. And as we see, there's nothing that Brett Kavanaugh could do that would ever get you to the 67 votes needed in the Senate to throw his ass off the bench. Ron and Raleigh, wait, what? Isn't this the sexual equivalent of conservatives whining about all those poor Negroes getting shot up in Chicago? They don't give a rat's hairy ass about young black men being shot or accused of sexual misconduct. No, they don't. Unless somehow or another they can make a pathetic attempt at showing that it's the same thing, what Brett Kavanaugh is being asked to explain. Brett Kavanaugh is, of course, not on trial and facing years and years and years and years and years in prison. Meanwhile, Randy in PA tells me The View today with Whoopi was having none of it. Even the conservatives on there couldn't justify it. Subject line, fake attorneys. Lee in New York says, if Atticus Finch sets trial standards, I'd like an alternative. Data's trial with Picard and Riker, obligatory Star Trek reference. Does Data have rights or is he sentient? Do women have rights? Immigrant children? Silly, silly Lee. Of course they don't. At least not to Republicans. Just ask cranky old Orrin Hatch, shall we? Do let's.
Why aren't you brave enough to talk to us and exchange it with us? Don't you wave your hand at me. I wave my hand at you.
When you grow up,
when I grow up,
we grow up.
You and I grow up.
How dare you talk to women that way? How dare you?
Yeah, why don't you grow up? And he waves his little hand bye-bye at the little sister wives. Yeah, really.
Yeah, that's right. You just whistle it
off. You gotta hold the door, ma'am.
Senator, do you believe women?
Get out of the door, ma'am, or you're going to be arrested, says the muscle. A man of color, by the way. You grow up and laughed in their faces. Orrin Hatch did. My nods, I keep saying this, my nods. A little classical education goes a long goddamn way. He literally waved them off. Why aren't you brave enough to talk to us and exchange with us? Do the sister wives in Utah have enough courage to prevent his successor, the bishop, from entering the Senate? Yeah. Marty says, the muscle, the man of color. You know what Sandra would have called him. Well, I don't... But no, it was not lost on me that that Orrin Hatch was being protected by the ungrown-up women by a guy that Orrin's church didn't think was fully human until 1975. Yeah. Jack in Shreveport with a note. Subject line, Megyn Kelly and Guest. Yeah, Republicans aren't the ones who are divisive, but Megyn and Guest set up black people using young black men against women using sexual assault victims. Always good to get more than one bad deed included in a single jab. Ugh. I know. And then there's this guy. James Patrick of Florida. Florida man. He went to Facebook last week and said, depending on how the Supreme Court nomination of Brett Kavanaugh turned out, he was planning on slaughtering members of Congress and their families. Facebook has left the post up. It was September 24th. Thank you, Sparky, for pointing this out to me. It was September 24th when good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian white guy, Mr. Patrick, went to the Facebook and said, bought 12 boxes of hollow point 50 caliber bullets. I got plenty of ammo for my sniper rifle. Bought a suppressor from a private individual so I don't have to wait on it. Made sure all my arrangements have been made and care for my dogs, because I will not be coming home if Cav is not confirmed. I will kill those I believe are responsible and track down their families and kill them too, and have taken extra precautions and added more supplies in the tunnel under my house. Well, now... in case local or federal law enforcement tries to stop me. Follow in my footsteps. I refuse to let Democrats ruin this country. The greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever, in the universe, under God. Molon Lobby! But he wasn't done, Mr. Patrick wasn't. I can tell it seems I'll be sacrificing my life for my country. But I'm ready and will know who needs to be killed after the vote to put Kavanaugh on the Supreme Court. Getting ready. If Cav's not confirmed, whoever I think's to blame, may God have mercy on their soul. Just cleaned out the gun shop where I get guns, ammo, and target practice. Bought all their 50 caliber hollow points. I expect to be confronted and I will be ready to kill and ready to die. been thinking about this for a while now. It's not just the Brett Kavanaugh thing. It was back in 2017 when he posted, "I can't do this by myself. Need more conservatives going into liberals' homes at night and killing them in their sleep." He wrote that in 2017 and wasn't touched. Meanwhile, Sheriff Grady down in Florida said, "Anyone who threatens to shoot or kill any public servant or law enforcement officer will go to jail immediately." On the other hand, if somebody threatens to shoot or kill any ordinary American, I guess Sheriff Grady, well, you know, I mean, people get hit up over things. I mean, that's how it is. Yeah, Sheriff Grady Judd, that is. He did finally get arrested. He talked about his murder plots for over a year-ish. But he has been arrested, and gosh, he said he was going to... He said he was going to kill some Democrats, you know, just kill Democrats generically back in 2017, going into their homes and killing them in their sleep, that kind of thing. But that wasn't enough. But they finally did go in and get him, and hey, they set his bond all the way up to $500,000. Given he's got a home with a tunnel under it, and it's in Florida, who knows, his house might stand good for the bond. I sit here and I talk and I warn and I try to make abundantly clear the violent eliminationist urges that exist in the white wing in this country. But it's just a small program. Just a little program. And meanwhile, if this story even managed to make it to the for-profit media, I'm sure it would be accompanied by, "But both sides do it, Ted. You have to remember that. Both sides do it." Both sides don't. Those 50 caliber hollow point bullets, those are for his Desert Eagle semi-automatic handgun, by the way. "Hey, Bob," says Dave in Taliban, Indiana. "You think Brett's mama on his 18th birthday told him, and I quote, Brett, you're not our natural born child, end quote. No. No. I was born at... No. They's just proud as punches because he worked his tail off, even with all them brewskis, to get into Yale. And he didn't have any help because, except the fact that he was a legacy, that does matter at Yale. James in Illinois, "You're the almost a lawyer." No, I'm not a lawyer, and I don't play one on the radio. So tell me, if Brett becomes Justice Kavanaugh, then gets convicted of rape, if he appealed to it all the way to himself, can he find himself not guilty? No, let's just put it this way. No one can force a Supreme Court justice to recuse him and or herself from consideration of a case. No one. Not the Congress. Yeah, well, remember when Count Dicula went duck hunting with fat, not yet dead Tony Scalia, and Count Dicula had a case directly before Scalia. We're just duck hunting buddies. That's all. We didn't even talk about the case because I've already made up my mind because he's my buddy, Count Dicula. Yeah. David in South Carolina, subject line, Lindsey Loonhead. Lindsey Graham to protester. Let's dunk Kavanaugh in water and see if he floats. Yeah, I know. No, he... Jeremy, meanwhile, subject line, little old Vermont. We are not short of the stupid and hate up north. Just found out the guy two or three doors down from me is a flat earther and an anti-Jew conspiracy asshat. I know. Meanwhile, Ron and Raleigh, you did read the comments, didn't you? I hate doing that. I've swore an oath, but yeah, I snuck down, read the comment. You see, says Ron, you see, Bob, the Democrats are the violent ones. The poor conservatives are the victims. I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. In fact, I don't believe it's a tunnel. I believe it's an endless cavern. You know, the kind that doesn't have daylight on anywhere but the one entrance. Jack pointing out The View. Not sure if you've mentioned before that Abby Huntsman on The View both worked previously for Fox News and her father works for the administration as the ambassador to Russia. Yes, that's absolutely true. And all that reminds me, sometimes things just pass by as you're monitoring the cable news. And today, there was a conversation taking place with Stephanie Ruhle, in which the guest, and she's some sort of Republican consultant because she talks with an accent like this. I don't remember her name. But she's like a never Trump Republican consultant. There's a that's a good dollar, anti Trump Republican consultants. But she made reference to the chairman of the Republican National Committee, and she said, "Rona Romney McDaniel." And Stephanie Ruhle said, drop the Romney. Drop the Romney. And she responded, the Southern Never Trump Republican responded, well, I just get so used to all these three names, you know, like Hillary Rodham Clinton. Surprised she didn't say John Wilkes Booth. Why did Stephanie Ruhle want her to not say that Rona Romney McDaniel is Rona Romney McDaniel? I mean, wasn't that her so-called maiden name, her unmarried name? I do believe. I do. Does Stephanie Ruhle not want people to be reminded that the head of the RNC is related to Bishop Willard Romney? It's just one of those little things. Meanwhile, Steve from Georgistan says, Bob, I need to give you back the purple robe. I affirmed on Monday via email, you even read it on the air, the SOB would be a sitting member of SCOTUS by the week's end. I think I said the same thing. Or, as James in Illinois points out, John Wayne Gacy. Drop the Wayne. I don't know if Stephanie Ruhle would say that or not. Meanwhile, the Capitol Police have announced that they arrested somewhere around 302 anti-Kavanaugh Americans today on Capitol Hill. At approximately 3:30 p.m., 293 individuals were arrested for unlawfully demonstrating in the atrium of the Hart Senate Office Building. All were charged with D.C. Code Section 22-1307, crowding, obstructing, or incommoding. In addition, at approximately... At approximately 5:20 p.m., United States Capitol Police officers responded to the fourth floor of the Dirksen Senate Office Building for reports of unlawful demonstration activities. Nine individuals were arrested and were charged with D.C. Code Section 22-1307, crowding, obstructing, or incommoding. The individuals arrested are being processed on site and released. At this time, we are unable to confirm the names of those arrested due to the large number being processed. Under D.C. Code Section 22-1307, it is unlawful for a person alone or in concert with others to crowd, obstruct, or incommode. A. The use of any street, avenue, alley, road, alley, highway, or sidewalk. The entrance of any public or private building or enclosure. The use or passage of or passage through any public building or public conveyance, or the passage through or within any park or other, yada, yada, yada. Note. Under D.C. Code Section 10-503-16B-7, it is unlawful to demonstrate in any of the Capitol buildings. Oh, so, wait a minute. No free speech rights inside the actual seat of government. Howdy do. Ain't that something? Trey, the guy was going to get, Trey says, a Desert Eagle, Christ on a crutch. That's a fucking hand cannon, Bob. At 50 calibers? Yeah, 50 caliber? Yeah, I'd say that's a hand cannon. And all the good little upstanding Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-dementalist, homosexual Christians get little tiny mushroom-like stiffies every time you even mention the word Desert Eagle. What do you want to bet James Patrick doesn't get convicted? Well, he didn't mean anything by it. I mean, he just put it on Facebook. He wasn't doing anything. He hadn't taken a substantial step or nothing. He's just blowing off some steam. You know, we got to have free speech in this country, allow people to blow off steam like that, or else they might actually do something. Right? Meanwhile, our buddy Reverbo with a note says, they understand. Our side does not. We needed to start going house to house with wooden stakes 60 years ago and get those vampires out of government. And we did not. Yeah, see, Reverbo, man, they don't go with the wooden they don't go with wooden stakes. They go with the 50 caliber lead bullets. Well, jacketed hollow points. Creates quite a mess. A lot more effective than wooden stakes. So, here we are at the halfway point of the program. this is funny. Jennifer Rubin from the Washington Post, who has apparently triggered a bunch of white wingnut welfare organizations who insist that the Post stop referring to her as a conservative, even though she is one. She was commenting on the Chuck Astleys and Orrin Hatches and the Lindsey Grahams of the world, and she said they're so emotional, almost hysterical. I'd make a joke about it that they're behaving as if it's their time of the month, but this is very, very serious. And she described their shrieking, hysterical tone, and she said it's deliberate. They want to embolden their mostly male, mostly white, mostly non-college educated base, And they want to do it all at the expense of women. And it's absolutely true. So, like I said, we're just a little past the halfway point of the program. Lines are open if you want to engage in some conversation. 304-574-8178. 304-640-2829. Toll free, 844-THE-HORN. 844-843-4676. And Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet, Bob Kincaid Horn. So jump in if you wish. It being a Thursday, we've got the Green News Report, courtesy of Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. God only knows what kind of horrors are therein contained. But we'll take a little break, and hey, we've got $380 in fundraising to go. And it would be really nice to not have $580 in fundraising to go tomorrow, Friday, because our ordinary Friday on the front porch will be curtailed by the fact that I'm going to be knocking off at 8 o'clock to get everything rebooted and reset up to fill in for Malloy at 9. So if we could get caught up, it would be great, because I don't want to start Moran Monday on the 8th in some sort of godforsaken hole that means that who knows how much longer this program remains on the air. I hate sweating that day by day, week by week, month by month, but I don't know any other way to make it to keep this thing going. And frankly, isn't it worth it, as far as the program's concerned, isn't it worth it for me not to break the flow of the program to tell you about how much weight Agnes has lost taking olive oil essence capsules? Our buddy Lauren, out in the far frozen reaches of Alberta, brought that to my attention. There's a radio program out there now with a bunch of ads for, my goodness gracious, she sure has shed the tonnage since she started taking the olive oil essence capsules. That, along with her neuro-linguistic programming, has almost, I know my life's a lot better. My wife, I think I'll keep her. Yeah. Matt in San Francisco with a note. WTF. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. I agree he'll be confirmed. I can't shake this sick feeling I have about Brett, and then the damage that will be heaped upon us all after he's seated. Out of all the Chads, Bryces, Brents, and Blaines in the United States, this Kavanaugh's the best the Republicans can come up with? It feels to me like they want to send a message. Shut up, all you women. You shouldn't even be voting in the first place. Well, Ann Coulter has made that argument. To the rest of you unwashed masses, we will be getting to you shortly. First, we'll put the gays back in line. In fact, we're already practicing how to move people into camps. Because, you know, they are. Does that seem over the top? You know, once upon a time, that may have seemed hysterical. But we live in a time now where it isn't. Where everything and anything is possible. Every now and then, it's good to just sort of take a step back, take a deep breath, and say, I live in a country that puts children in dog cages. And take a two count and say again, I live in a country that puts children in dog cages. I live in a country that puts children in dog cages. I live in a country that kidnaps children, where the government kidnaps children from their parents. I live in a country where the government kidnaps children from their parents and then puts the children in dog cages. And then maybe it does, because that is absolutely factually correct. There's nothing incorrect about it. And then ask yourself what you're doing about it.
Oh, I'm not talking about Mr. Patrick. Well, I went down to my local gun store and I bought a clean amount of hollow point and 50 caliber hollow point NJ ammunition.
It's not what I'm talking about. That will not solve problems. That will only create more. And here's the thing. It won't happen overnight. We're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and it's going to be full-on fascism. Like we were talking last night, the new season of Man in the High Castle starts tomorrow. That's not what it's going to be. The problem is it's going to be incremental. And because it will be incremental, it will be hard to notice. When bombs, well, there were a lot of people who thought that Winston Churchill was being an over-the-top alarmist when he kept saying,
"This Hitler fellow cannot be trusted."
And before I get emails, yes, Churchill was a disgusting racist. He also, however, poured every ounce of his, and he had some terrible ideas.
I say we turn icebergs into aircraft carriers.
Or then there's just Gallipoli. But he saw the rise of Hitler for what it was. And he warned the people of the UK about what was coming. And they sat around through the 30s and they said,
"Oh, that silly Winston. Oh, he's constantly waiting for the sky to fall. He's like Chicken Little."
And then, along about 1940, the sky did fall. Well, okay, the sky didn't fall. Lots and lots and lots and lots of bombs fell from the sky. And all of a sudden, the people of the UK woke up and realized there's only one way to deal with fascists. Well, there are no bombs falling from the sky. They're not likely to. And so consequently, we open ourselves to the slow march of incremental fascism. I don't know if you saw the photographs coming out of the South China Sea the other day, not being alarmist or anything, but we had a guided missile destroyer named the USS Decatur sailing in the South China Sea. And the guided missile vessel, the People's Republic of China Navy, Luoyang, sailed within 45 yards of the vessel, which is considered unsafe and not an exercise of polite international seamanship, and could have easily touched off, you know, a thing. The Decatur, and I mean, what else are you going to do? The Decatur veered off so as to avoid a collision. Oddly enough, had the Decatur veered off in such a situation under the presidency of Barack Obama, you would not have heard the end of it. You haven't heard the start of it at all in this instance.
My friends, the Kenyan Muslim Navy chickened out and ran away when confronted by the Chi-Coms. That's what happens when you have a cowardly Negro in the office of the president, whose sympathies are with the Muslims and the Kenyans where he was born.
Well, the USS Decatur, under that rubric, chickened out because the Liu Yang was playing chicken with them. I'm not saying that the wrong thing was done. It wasn't. That was prudent. That was prudent seamanship on the part of the commander of the vessel. He had his rules of engagement, and he stuck with them. But, of course, the maggots. Well, the maggots would never say that that we had some sort of navy that was comprised of cowardly destroyer captains, because they're showing that the United States will not be laughed at, MAGA, MAGA. We will MAGA not MAGA be laughed at, MAGA. We will MAGA be feared, MAGA, MAGA. Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, thank you. Thank you. Ron and Raleigh pointing out. Come on, Bob. Those aren't dog cages we're putting the little children in. They're rooms with chain link walls. Language is everything. Yeah, that's what I was saying, Marty. Churchill might have been a racist, but about the rise of Nazi Germany, he was spot on. Clarence, so here's something to ponder. I was thinking the other day during the president's national alert text. This is the way we will be notified of martial law enforcement. Yeah, it will. Or hey, did it ever stop? If they can force a text through, can they just shut down the system? I mean, I don't want to get all coast to coast or Alex Jones on you or anything. But I saw the problems that they were having, say, in the Pacific Northwest with AT&T, and I wondered, hey, I wonder if that's an accident. Or I wonder if maybe they've got the ability to just shut off the goddamn wireless network. I mean, they've got that ability, say, in other countries where they don't want social media getting out to show civil unrest or anything like that. You know, just not saying, just saying. So at 12 minutes before the hour, let's take a break and check in with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, and we'll come back and go to the phones. This is listener-supported conversation radio. Hopefully Brother Deacon Asa will get some company this evening. I know he'd like to have it. And hey, I did my part. I stopped talking in stupid Russian. Oh, did it. But you know what I mean. We'll be back. I'm Bob.
It's Thursday, October 4, 2018.
We have successfully completed negotiations to terminate and replace NAFTA.
Big oil is a big winner in Trump's new NAFTA trade deal.
We don't typically see this.
Two simultaneous Category 5s now spinning in the Pacific. The first ever container ship crosses the Arctic as sea ice hits new lows. Plus,
we've been quite pleasantly surprised and would encourage more of this technology into the grid.
Tesla's big battery in South Australia succeeding beyond all expectations.
All of those great expectations and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
I wish Rex Tillerson was still there. I never thought I'd be saying, where's the guy from Exxon?
This is your Green News Report.
Jesus, doesn't Chevron have someone who can step into that administration?
I'm gonna soak up the sun.
Okay, Desi Doyen and I was shocked to learn that Big Oil was the big winner in the new NAFTA deal.
Yeah, who could have thought? In the Trump administration's new trade deal with Mexico and Canada to replace NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement, there is some good news. The agreement drops a provision called the Investor-State Dispute Settlement, which allows multinationals to sue sovereign governments for the loss of future profits from new policy changes like new pollution regulations.
So oil companies can't sue the U.S. if the U.S. decides they ever wish to start putting a carbon tax out, for example.
Well, not exactly. The
what?
Bad news is that there's a carve-out for energy companies. According to financial journalist David Dayen in a recent broadcast, the fossil fuel carve-out, however, is limited to only current contracts.
It's essentially a hedge against the new incoming Mexican president from renationalizing the oil and gas sector. It definitely is a carve-out, but damages for expected future profits could not be recouped. Only concrete damages.
So there's that. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is taking its attack on public health to new levels this week, proposing or preparing to propose weakening regulations that protect the public from toxic mercury pollution from coal-fired power plants, weakening regulations that limit how much radiation you're allowed to be exposed to, and loosening more offshore drilling regulations. Meanwhile, the extremes of 2018 continue. Thanks to unusually warm ocean waters in the Pacific, Typhoon Walaka and Super Typhoon Kong Rei are the first two major typhoons to simultaneously achieve Category 5 intensity since 2005.
Kong Rei?
Kong Rei.
Okay.
Plus, Typhoon Walaka makes 2018 only the fourth season ever on record to see eight or more major hurricanes by October 1st. That Pacific Ocean warmth has also prompted NOAA to predict that we may see another El Nino hitting the U.S. in the coming months, and that could goose global temperatures and fuel even more extreme weather.
How many El Ninos are we going to have? It's like every year now we have another El Nino.
And you're right. It is unusual to have one this close to the last one, which was just 2 years ago. NASA announced this week that the Arctic sea ice minimum, which measures the extent of sea ice at the end of summer, was the sixth lowest ever recorded. The 12 lowest minimums have all occurred in the last 12 years.
Totally a coincidence.
The month of September also marked the passage of the first ever commercial container ship through the Arctic Ocean, made possible by the melting of Arctic ice. More container ships mean more pollution. But there is some good news. A new international agreement signed this week in Greenland now bans commercial fishing in much of the Arctic Ocean for at least the next 16 years. It protects vast areas that have opened up due to man-made global warming. It's intended to prevent, for now, the overfishing seen in other parts of the world, even as climate change causes major fish species to move farther north as the planet warms.
Has the U.S. signed on to that treaty?
Yes, it has.
What happened there? How did they miss that one? What's going on? Is Donald Trump okay?
Finally, remember that big battery that Tesla installed in South Australia? On that bet from CEO Elon Musk?
Yes.
Well, Tesla's big battery farm, it stores clean energy generated by a wind farm. And since going into service nearly a year ago, it has repeatedly stabilized the electric grid, preventing blackouts as the province's aging coal plants have broken down. ABC Australia reports that the battery farm is exceeding all expectations.
The naysayers said it was a waste of money, but this big battery is already playing a key role in stabilizing the grid. And it's doing so with a speed, precision, and agility that's never been seen before.
Conventional generators can't match the way the battery makes small adjustments to power supply to keep the grid at the right frequency.
Australia energy market operators like the big battery so much, they're calling for more of them to be installed.
Oh, big coal and big natural gas are not going to be happy about that.
Nope.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Do you come from a land down under?
Do
You know, there's so much great rock and roll that's been produced in Australia. I mean, I love that Men at Work song, but, you know, hey, Brett, Desi, how about a little Richard Clapton? How about a little Screaming Jets? And that's old stuff, but still, awesome stuff. We are at 5 minutes before the hour, and yes, we remain, it's come down a little bit. Thank you, Rusty. Oh, that's huge, Rusty. Thank you very kindly. We are now down to $330 to go in fundraising for the evening. That's tremendous help, Rusty. Thank you so kindly. Hopefully, Rusty and Brother Deacon Asa will get some company, and we can at least knock out last night's fundraising so that we can, tomorrow evening with the two-hour program, we can work on tonight and tomorrow's. And that's only $130 away. 13 folks at $10. 10 people at $13. Don't see a lot of $13 contributions, but, well, whatever, you know, $220, $225, whatever it takes. Let's check in and go and see if Todd's out on the ledge. Hey, Todd.
Oh, man, I'm trying to scrounge up some $88 contributions for you.
Oh, that would be huge. We like eight. No $88. Wait, what are you?
Man, you're fucking slow, man. What the fuck?
I'm tired, man. I'm tired. 88?
Any other day, then, as soon as that came out, I'm not chastising.
Well, no, I mean, I worry about the deep holes and, you know. Although,
no,
let's, $196, that's 2 times 88. $196 would be really big. And that's 2 88s.
I would encourage all the listeners to tell at least 2 friends to expand their listener base, you know. I think it is expanding. I'm hearing new people. But I'm not going to waste your time with that. I mean, we can talk about that. I have 2 questions.
Okay.
I'm not going to keep it. All right. This shit with China, you know, we all know that they're, you know, expanding. They're like just throwing rocks. Whatever, when you demolish something, all like concrete and rebar, dumping that into the South China Sea.
Yeah.
You know, to quote unquote expand their landmass. Now, and you know, people, you know, countries do that, but I just don't understand why Americans are okay with not understanding that this is exactly what Russia would want, the destabilization of the West. This is like their playbook. This is what they've been wanting the whole time.
Yeah.
Now we look weak. You see, this is we're making a vacuum. This is really, really sad. Am I off base here?
No, you're not. No, you're not. And look, When you think about all that National Ruble Association money, and all the, see, I'm all paranoid. I don't think, I'm not going to put you on the spot whether you were listening last night, but, you know, like, oh, by the way, 2 times 88 is 176, not 196. I was being overly hopeful. See, I can't be trusted to cipher on the fly. Thank you, Marty. But you know, when I was playing that Liz Crokin bullshit last night, where she's talking about the military tribunals are coming, and she wants it. Really, she wants a country that does kangaroo courts. Yeah, they do, and is run on a theocratic basis. All these, you know. Remember, all these right wing organizations. you'll never convince me that their political stances are organic, Todd. They are funded. Mm-hmm. They are funded. And you can never go wrong trotting out a little bit of Latin in instances like this and asking, cui bono?
Who benefits? Exactly.
And
you
who
can't go wrong. It's old as dirt, right?
Yeah, who benefits from having the United States descend so far into chaos and division and civil strife that we can't maintain our status in the world. Remember when we were talked about as the lone superpower?
Right.
Who benefits if there's no superpowers?
Russia. This is what I don't. Are these people this ignorant? They don't see. Let me slow down. I talk too fast. I'm going to breathe before somebody tells me to breathe. Because I know she will.
She's probably listening.
I know. She's probably making some kale.
Yeah. But, okay. So?
I mean, okay, fine. Anybody who's been paying attention to history in the last 50 years, Russia's kind of broke because they skim off the top and there's not much left for the people ever since, they broke up in the 90s. So they embark on low-cost, nefariousness, right? Cyber stuff. It doesn't cost much. But they've wanted to destabilize the West forever. I mean, that's the whole plan. Their money's not worth much. All this, it's like everything that we are doing is the Russian playbook. But because they like the person who's in charge now, this administration, because they wave the flag and do whatever, arouse the base. They think it's like ass backwards. And it's like they're leading these folks into the pit. They don't even see it. And I almost can't even listen to Washington Journal anymore. And I did get a call from the union. They told me that I can file charges against you. You got to stand inside the street. The shop stewards, that's all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I won't work your corner, man. I promise.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you and Steve from Georgia Stan have that corner.
Somebody, look, we have the crazy folk training. I don't know if you had the proper training to deal with this, like Steve and I do. So, anyway, it's crazy. But yeah, so it's very interesting. When that story, I was shocked. Because let me tell you something, 50 yards? You talking about ships? It's not like a car. It's not like a car. 50 yards is nothing. They could have collided. That's nothing. You can't just turn the ship.
No, because there's that water thing. I mean, we've got some pretty impressive vessels, but I'm pretty sure there aren't four-wheel disc anti-lock disc brakes on a guided missile cruiser or a destroyer.
That's not happening. So, it just really concerns me that enough Americans aren't like seeing the bigger picture. And see, this feeds into this, what I'm seeing is this like Caucasian shift. Because remember, it was less than, 10, 11 years ago. If you said Russian to a diehard Republican, let's say in, Tennessee or Kentucky, I can't stand them Russians. You know what I mean? Look how quickly.
Well, they used to couldn't, but now the League of the South is doing outreach. If they can ever get to their Slavic white cousins in Russia, because we have so much in common. They eat borscht and we eat cornbread. See,
all this stuff is connected. All this, the white evangelicals, because they're trying to, Russia's trying to awaken their roots or whatever, And now they're hating, this country's hating on dark-skinned folk. Because I just can't get over what they're doing to these children at the border. And all I'm going to say about this, and I harp on agencies that are having these concentration camps, okay? They know what chain of custody is. I don't know how far back that goes. It has to be at least 250 years. It probably came from England. Chain of custody, I'm quite sure. Most of our law came from England. It's not a new concept. How the fuck do you not have chain of custody for human beings? It's a very simple question. Can you answer that?
Well, you can't maintain chain of custody unless you want to maintain a chain of custody.
So that's willful neglect.
No. I'm not talking about neglect. No, we're not at willful, wanton, and reckless. We're at intentional, Todd. intentional. They don't want
to. They don't want
to do this because they have plans for those children.
I heard you say that. That's scary, but you know what? Look, and it's only miles away from what it happens on the other side of the border. That, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Macalador, is that the way it's pronounced?
I believe so. Although, don't look to me for the pronunciation of Spanish words.
Okay. This, yeah. So, you know, this Caucasian shift, I think, is very evident, and it goes back into this white folks being scared as hell that they're going to be outnumbered pretty soon. So, it's not black folks' fault that white folks aren't having enough babies for their, you know, their suiting or whatever, you know. But everybody's sperm count is down. I'm not going to go back into that. Anyway, so, you know, it's really sad. It's really sad because this is not for everybody. But and so my other question is that why have our folks we've gotten sucked into these sexual allegations with this? I mean, it's too late now, but that was a red herring. That's nothing anybody can prove. You know, obviously that woman's hurt, you know, but there's no physical evidence. There never will be. The only people, we don't even know that there were three people in the room. We don't know that. What we do know is that Kavanaugh is a turd and a perjurer, and his performance.
And a recipient of, you left out recipient of stolen property.
I didn't get to Manny yet. Yeah. I mean, my God, you asked Patrick, let me tell you something. I watched that shit four times with Patrick. Patrick Leahy would strangle that motherfucker in a minute if he can get away with it. He was steaming mad.
Well, it's kind of frustrating when you are eyeball to eyeball with a felon and you are prevented from doing a damn thing about it. Manny Miranda was at least arrested, was he not?
I don't know. Okay.
But the rest of them, they don't get touched. And what kind of an investigation was there that I'll tell you what kind of an investigation there was. There was an investigation led by George W. Bush's Justice Department, and he got to skate. But again, for the benefit of people, it's worth... Look, Twitter's a sewer, it's a cesspool, it's filthy, but it's worth being on the... It's worth being able to go to Twitter to find things like the multi-post thread from Patrick Leahy that includes the documents themselves... and includes the implication of Brett Kavanaugh so that you can see the dirt. And I retweeted it earlier today. If you go to my feed, you'll find the Patrick Leahy.
Cool.
You'll find the Patrick
like
Leahy
that.
Thread. And it's all laid out there in black and white. You can see it. This guy's a crook.
Mitch McConnell was so upset when Patrick Leahy... And Patrick said, yeah, I'm going to have some video here. And Mitch was like, oh, no, this is unprecedented. We can't do that. He was like, ah, too bad. We're doing this. You know, he just like, fuck you, Mitch. You know, go fondle your children. And by the way, I don't know. Mitch McConnell's a goddamn pedophile. I would not let my children near him. Period. What the hell is wrong with him? He's a weirdo-looking motherfucker, man. Between his actions and his mannerisms and everything else, and I know I'm just out there with this, but ain't no way. What? How do you have jowls like that? Like a
well, yeah. By the way, going back to your chain of custody remarks, Todd, just got a note from Lee in New York. Subject line, database terminology. When you do proper database design, data can be connected in a relationship called parent-child. All maternity wards issue parent-child IDs. To not set up data properly means you either do not know what to do or do not care to do it right. Signed, your local tech support, Lee, in New York City.
Lee, I cannot agree with you more. I earn my bread and butter doing stats and data, and it's like when you think like that, it's like, okay, where's my key? Like a key is like a number or something that is going to link everything together. And you want to get as much data on any individual, any process, you know, as much as you can get. So that when you do a cross-reference, a cross-tab, you may not get the exact hit, but you'll get enough hits where you can narrow it down because there's enough links. But these folks, I mean, this is unbelievable. And I'm not trying to dwell on this because, this is just flabbergasting what is happening. And it's obvious what it is because they're not doing that to no Irish people. They're not doing that to no Scandinavians. They're not doing that to Norwegians. You know, it's very obvious what's going on with that. And that goes back to this Caucasian shift. And I don't hate Caucasians. It has nothing to do with me hating or disliking or, you know. It's just
I appreciate that as an alleged Caucasian, although I can't find anywhere in my family tree that we've got anybody in the Caucasus. But, you know, that's the box they give me to check.
Well, that's only because they didn't have the pink Asian. Caucasian.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a Kincasian.
That's it. You know, you're on the pink side. Let's see. There's you got me laughing. But seriously, like with the Kavanaugh thing, and I mean this. I'm trying to be as fair as possible because we have to realize here is a terrible history. I mean, this is the oldest trick in the book. That, you know where I'm biased. Obviously, but I'm just trying to be fair. You know, a female saying somebody touched him, that's the oldest trick in the book. I mean, this is old as Methuselah. But that's really not the point. The point is that when we get to the stage where it's he say, she say. She said there were, you know, Kavanaugh and another guy in there. The other guy says he wasn't there. So there's no physical evidence. Now, I believe it had, I mean, I believe something happened to her. I believe it was probably him. Because, and this fast forward. You see, this is my point. This is why he should not even be at this, where he is right now. He should be lucky that he's still a judge in the D.C. Appeals Court. Now that he's been exposed as a perjurer. That's my fucking problem. It has nothing to do with sexual allegations. We're not going to be able to prove that. We're not. But everything else about his character that we see, I'm getting upset. If that motherfucker was black, that is not a trial, but you are under oath and there is protocol. You are really, they've been letting these people slide. You're supposed to answer yes or fucking no.
Well, if the question calls for a yes or no answer.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. Right.
You know, you can't answer yes or no to what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen sparrow.
You're right. Thank you for correcting me. You're right. But the answers are supposed to be constrained within the framework of the question. It's not supposed to be a diatribe. Will you accept that?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you were in a trial situation, I'd say. North of 90% of the questions asked by the Democratic senators in the non-hissy fit portion of his confirmation hearings, if it was in a trial situation, would have drawn an objection from the person asking the questions, and it would go, "Your Honor, objection, the witness is non-responsive. Sustained, the witness will answer the fucking question."
Mm-hmm.
Because if I say... If I say, Judge Kavanaugh, do you believe a woman... Okay, this is going to be troublesome because it is a yes or no question. Judge Kavanaugh, how do you feel about a woman's right to privacy and her right to determine the workings of her own body? And if he responds... I love women.
Okay.
I've hired a bunch of women as my clerks, and I coach girls basketball. Well, that's when the lawyer would say, "Objection, Your Honor. The witness is being non-responsive," because in that instance, the witness is not responding to the question that the lawyer put. The question was, "What do you think about a woman's right to privacy?" And he's telling you that he likes girls.
Countless times, Judge Kavanaugh went into some diatribe about how well I busted my butt and how well I do in school. It has nothing to do with the question. People do well in school all the time and rape people. It has nothing to do with, you know, it's incongruent. It's, you know, like you said, no, just stop. So, but this business, when he said to Amy Klobuchar, "What? I'm curious about you. Have you ever had a blackout?" What the fuck?
Well, no, that's where the judge says, "Buster, one more like that, and I'm holding you in contempt, and we'll have some more and we'll have some more hearings tomorrow, and you'll be wearing orange for them."
No, see, Bob, I would have put his butt in there for 5 days and let him really cool the fuck off.
Well, Todd, I mean, let's be clear about this. There's no criminal jeopardy that attaches to these proceedings unless someone is willing to refer him for a perjury prosecution. Okay?
Damn it. Once again, okay, the numbers are against us. Again, we can't do shit.
Well, no. Hold on.
Okay.
Because this is a larger conversation. This is about long-term thinking. This is about long-term determination. We know what the lay of the land is for Democrats and Republicans in the Senate this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Democrats have had to defend a shitload more seats than the Republicans have. Mm-hmm. And the Republicans are finding it hard to defend the seats that they thought once were locks. It's neck and neck in Tennessee, Arizona, Nevada, goddamn Texas. Okay, but if the Democrats could, by some miracle, wind up with a majority in the Senate, then in 2020, the Republicans have to defend 20 seats. Dan Sullivan, mm-hmm. Tom Cotton, Cory Gardner, David Perdue, mm-hmm. Jim Risch, Joni Ernst, Pat Roberts, Mitch McConnell, Bill Cassidy, Susan Collins, Steve Daines, Ben Sasse, Thom Tillis, Jim Inhofe, Lindsey Graham, Mike Rounds, Lamar Alexander, John Cornyn, Shelley Moore Capito, and Mike Enzi.
And demographics are changing as we speak. You see, these folks who've been witnessing this gun violence and everything, there's a whole lot of new folks who are ready to vote.
I mean, it's highly unlikely, but you have to look at the numbers first, and you have to say, what would a sweep look like? If the Democrats held every seat and the Republicans lost every seat, you know what you'd have in January 2021?
No.
You'd have something like 72 senators. 72 Democratic senators.
If we just held on to what we have.
If we can take a majority, I'm sorry, 71. If we can take a majority in the Senate in this November, stay focused, stay angry, stay on message, stay on task. And then, you know, if a miracle happened, you'd have a 71-seat Democratic majority in the Senate of the United States, and you'd get some shit done. That's enough senators to impeach a Supreme Court justice, or remove, no, that not impeach, that happens over in the House. That's enough senators on a trial of impeachment to remove a Supreme Court justice or a President of the United States.
Okay, so does the impeachment of a Supreme Court justice, does that originate in the House or the Senate?
All of them do. They all originate in the House.
All of them originate in the House. Okay.
And then the trial is in the Senate.
Right.
And by November of 2020, it's possible, It is possible, if the Democrats can take the House, that there may be enough investigatory heft behind all the lies that he's told to go after Kavanaugh. Now, remember, unlike this Department of Justice guidance that's not even law, that says you can't charge a president with a crime while he's in office, there's no such rule for Supreme Court justices.
Mm-hmm.
If he is found to have perjured himself, he can be charged, and he can be forced to stand trial while he sits on the bench.
Well, I mean, it's pretty clear he's been perjuring himself. I mean, it's, and in my humble opinion, I mean,
perjury is a tough hill to climb in some instances, because you have to determine the intent. You know, intent must be proven in all felonies. In other words, you don't just prove that he lied; you have to prove that he meant to lie.
Right, and then the boss.
And then the lie. And then the lie. The lie alleged has to have been material and relevant. If somebody says, Judge Kavanaugh, did you have your ear hair trimmed on May the 15th? And he said, no, I had it trimmed on the 14th, but he actually did have it done on the 15th. Well, that's not going to make a perjury charge stick.
Right, because that's what he thought.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not relevant.
Oh.
See, okay. You know, for all the, you know, and is it, you know, the that line about, you know, the
a lie goes
around the world before the truth can get its shoes on. You know, you remember that line? Well, we've still got that going on. I can point to several of them, but one in particular is any time that the maggots start grunting around going, well, Bill Clinton was disbarred because MAGA, he was MAGA, convicted of MAGA perjury, MAGA. No, he wasn't. There was never a criminal charge of perjury filed against Bill Clinton. Never. Not once. There was no trial because there was no charge. But if you ask the average maggot sitting there picking his teeth with his toenail clippings, was Bill Clinton convicted of perjury? God damn right he was, because he's a fucking liar. I know this because I've heard it. And I've seen it.
Oh, well, that's the meme. The meme is that he lied about sex. That's why he got impeached. That's the meme.
It's not because he got the blowjob. It's because he lied about the blowjob.
Which in itself, and so we're back to this. And once again, we have to harp on this. Those salacious questions. I mean, how much more he didn't know? He had sexual relations with Monica Lewinsky. Unless you're a goddamn pervert, you ain't getting none. What more do you need to know? That's between Bill Clinton and his wife. After that, I mean, as far as
given the way he behaved in the 90s, you can almost see Brett going home. Well, hell, no. I reckon he hadn't even married Ashley yet, had he? And I almost had this nasty image of him rutting away on Ashley and saying, "Let me call you Monica."
You didn't say rut. Wait, did you see? And you get me off on this. But honest to God, the look on that woman's face. She knows he's an. She knows, well, this is why he's always been a nasty drunk. Oh, she's disgusted with him. She is disgusted with him. That's what I see on her face. She is so pissed off that he had to drag. I mean, this is one part of me. That he drug his kids and hurt this. The other part is that, you remember, there are women who push, you know, they want to push and want their guy to have a high, you know, high-level position, you know. But she doesn't come off like that to me. I mean, that's just me. But
Can I ask you a question? And you may not be aware of this.
No, Bob.
What the fuck business does Brett Kavanaugh have writing an op-ed in defense of his own nomination to be published in the Wall Street Journal?
None, the Wall Street Journal should not be accepting it. That's bullshit. Fuck that.
I'm looking at it right here, WSJ.com. I am an independent, impartial judge. Yes, I was emotional last Thursday. I hope everyone can understand I was there as a son, husband, and dad. By Brett M. Kavanaugh, October 4th, 2018.
Bob, that's disgusting. And see, there's so much with this guy. He's like Trump. He's just like, he's much like Trump. I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's the other thing that was just absolutely unacceptable. What in the world?
Oh, that spittle-laced conniption he threw was for an audience of one. He didn't want Donald Trump to think he was some sort of sissy man. He wanted to telegraph to Donald Trump the fact that, you know, by God, he knows how to treat a woman. He'll scream at that goddamn Feinstein and that mean lady Klobuchar. He'll show him what's for. He's not afraid of a woman. That's all that was.
It was something else that you touched on when you started reading that. It's a whole nother, like, broach of another subject that is totally unacceptable.
I mean, I could sit here and read. I could sit here and read this entire opinion piece.
Oh, okay.
But I don't have a whorehouse piano to play the background music.
Okay, what I'm saying is that speaking in defense of him. Okay, I'm sorry. You sparked my memory. Thank you. And you know, you intimidate me a lot. I have a very good memory, but sometimes when I talk with you,
me,
you know,
we're buddies.
Yeah, I know. You're intimidating because you need the goddamn Oxford Dictionary with magnifying glass. I'm telling you, this is too much.
By God, I've got it, and I'm not afraid to use it, Todd.
Man, you have some power, man. Listen, before I write this, because I don't want to forget what I wanted to say.
I ain't no quotidian user of words.
Man, if I had that dictionary, I swear I would. I have a miter box and I have some power tools. I would build a small, like in church when you put the chalice and the stuff you do communion with. It's like a little cabinet.
Yeah, it's got a little door. Little doors and shit.
Yeah, man, with a little light. And listen, a little white cotton gloves. Don't be fucking. And I have a little
speaker back there with a trip wire. So when you open it up, you hear an MP3 going. Oh. Wait a minute. Now hold on. Let's do this right. Oh.
Wait one more time.
Oh.
But we're on the same wavelength,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, so absolutely. And for show purposes, since it's radio and not video, we'd need to make sure we had squeaky hinges so when I opened it, it would go.
So the dogs would know.
Probably get Kimba all pissed off all the way out in Los Angeles.
Kimba ain't no joke.
Kimba scared the shit out of me last night.
That was pretty loud. She's ready to eat. You know what I mean? I feel sorry for the mailman. Oh, my God. Okay. So, all right. Almost lost. I'm talking about the dictionary. Almost lost.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, we were back.
Hey, wait a minute. One more thing about the dictionary. Do you have a wand with a rubber tip so you don't have to actually touch the pages so you can move the pages?
I need one of those with a little finger pointing. You know, it's a hand at the end with a little finger.
Yes. Bed Bath & Beyond, I think they have them. I'm just saying. You know, there's pages you don't want to. No, you have to have some. I'm really not being funny. I'm really not.
But you know, we'd have to have two boxes. Because it's like A to O and P to Z.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You're right.
Because you don't want to be heaving around on them things. You can pull something. I'm uninsured. I can't afford the damn hernia surgery.
I'm so happy for you. Honest to God. But you need something. Yeah, I mean, you appreciate it. Everybody won't. Like, somebody could drop that on the street here, and it would end up in the landfill. Nobody would think twice. Except for me.
What the fuck maybe, you need with one of them? You know all the words you need to know.
You know how to say get, don't you?
Exactly. Per-zactly.
Okay.
I specifically despise them eggheads what's relying on dictionaries.
That's too much of that goddamn education. That's them wrong, them damn liberals, I tell you.
Yeah, right got a now. Bunch of goddamn book learning, ain't got no common sense.
If you had any sense, you'd have voted for Trump.
And if they just give a man a chance and sitting there being all brilliant and shit.
Don't make me cry.
Let me see if you do this to me, man. Come on. All right. So back to his outburst. This business, this fucking business is about what goes around comes around, and then, oh, this bad right, and then he brought up Hillary Clinton. How the fuck? I don't care about your fucking party. That is not an impartial person. I mean, nobody's impartial, but that motherfucker has made it clear what goes around comes around. Do I need to repeat that shit?
No. Gonna reap the whirlwind.
I don't care if he fuck that woman. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I mean, I do care, but it doesn't fucking matter. This motherfucker is too dead.
The term is boofed. The term is boofed.
Oh, okay. Boofed. Look, I don't care if you boofed until she bled. Look, he did that shit today. 2018, he said, I don't care. Clinton. What goes around comes around. He's a terrible liar.
Well, see, that's the... I'm sitting here. I don't want to...
He was fucking 3 years old.
I don't want to be
he's
burnt.
Like, oh, what is his name?
I don't want to be burnt by... I don't want to be burnt by something that's not real. I mean, that's where I am... You know, I'm afraid I'm being, you know, burnt on this. I can't believe that the editorial page of the Wall Street Journal, well, yeah, it's a Murdoch paper, would actually publish this op-ed.
It's unbelievable.
And what's in it? I mean, my God, wait a minute, let's see here.
You just saw it, really, huh?
Yeah, I'm looking at it, and...
I'm sorry it was so loud, but this is bullshit, man. Do they not understand it when they?
That night I told. Wait a minute. Like I said, I don't
like
have the horse.
Putting a malignant tumor in our society.
I don't have a whorehouse piano handy. Like I said. But.
Why not, Bob?
That night, I told the American people who I am and what I believe. I mean, Jesus, you almost think this should begin. Dear Forum, I never believed this would happen to me. That night, I told the American people who I am and what I believe. I talked about my 28-year career as a lawyer, almost all of which has been in public service. See, he considers public service getting paid to think up dirty questions to ask Bill Clinton on behalf of Ken Starr. So, did you go and jack off into the garbage can, Bill? That's public service in Brett Kavanaugh's world. And if you did, was it fun? Would you recommend it to others? Granted, I have to do it with tweezers, but you think I'd enjoy it too, Bill? As I explained,
and they're laughing like Bush. You got to sit down, man.
And so he goes on about how he's always been polite and nonpartisan.
What?
And he says, I was very emotional last Thursday, more so than I've ever been. I might have been too emotional at times. I know that my tone was sharp, and I said a few things I should not have said. I hope everyone can understand that I was there as a son, husband, and dad. I testified with five people foremost in my mind. My mom, my dad, my wife, and most of all, my daughters. Going forward, you can count on me to be the same kind of judge and person I've been for my entire 28-year legal career. Hard-working, even-keeled, open-minded, independent, and dedicated to the Constitution and the public good of making sure that women can't control the workings of their insides because Jesus. Okay, I added that last part.
I was about to, come on.
As a judge, I've always treated colleagues and litigants with the utmost respect. Like when I was asking Bill Clinton if he jacked off in a garbage can. I've been known for my courtesy on and off the bench. Like when I asked Bill Clinton if he fucked Monica with a cigar. I have not changed. I will continue to be the same kind of judge I've been for the last 12 years, writing opinions that side 91% of the time with people, with corporations that like to pollute people. And I will continue to contribute to our country as a coach, a volunteer, and a teacher. Every day I will try to be the best husband, dad, and friend I can be. Christ. I mean, honest to God, I cannot believe that's real.
But you know what? We're seeing these all these really high definition glossy commercials now, new ones.
Oh, you mean from the Judicial Crisis Network?
Yeah, those folks. See, I'm trying not to be profane because I think it detracts from my argument. So, yes, those great organizations. Now, I think we're in a different realm now. I think the propaganda, we're in a whole different propaganda zone now. You know, because I've been on cable lately, and I've seen they got this like rural news network, and you know, it's probably that Sinclair outfit. I think that's what it is. And we have Fox, and this bullshit. I don't understand why would they accept that? That, I mean, at some point the editor has to say, no, why the fuck are you accepting this shit? I mean, you've worked. I'm not going to say what you used to. Come on, I don't think that's acceptable. Would you do that if you were an editor? Would you accept that?
No, never in a million years. But Rupert Rupert Murdoch doesn't sign my paychecks. And the Wall Street Journal op-ed page is a sewer.
Well, now, I mean, they're like the World News or National Enquirer or what? They at least have op-ed pages, right? Because it's a for sale. Rupert Murdoch is like Trump. He's all about the money and perversion. He doesn't give a fuck. So this justice is his backers, you know. make no mistake, everything is for sale now. Everything. Everything is for sale. Those micro particulates that kill you, you got to pay for them soon.
Oh, we pay. We pay already, but you know what I mean. Hey, let me interrupt for just a minute because we got 20 minutes left in the program, Todd. Things have gotten a little bit better. And
good news.
Yeah, Brother Deacon Asa has gotten some company, along with just a minute here. I want to get everything right. Brian jumped in, and Henry jumped in, and and Rusty having jumped in, Asa and Rusty got some company, so we are now down to $255 to go to finish fundraising. And if we just,
that's beautiful news.
Yeah, it is. If we could wipe out that last $55, that would mean that we'd only be dealing with tonight and tomorrow night. So that's tremendous. So thank you very kindly to Brian, and thank you to Henry, and thank you very kindly to Rusty and Brother Deacon Asa. This actually might be doable. But James in Illinois has a message for you. You know, you've got fans, Todd. All Todd needs is a table saw and a router table and a bunch of choice lumber. By the way, the money goes into the wood.
Oh,
spend the money on the wood.
I like that. Okay, thank you very much.
Yeah, I know, and I mentioned that miracle scenario where you get 71 Democratic senators. And James says, come to your senses, Bob. This is the Democrats we're talking about. but the point that I'm trying to reach in that scenario is that there is a way forward. And it frankly, it depends on the determination of the voters. I mean, I'm getting emails and notes and messages and stuff from people who say, I don't think the Democrats are even going to take the House.
And we're taking the House.
Well, not until the votes were counted. Votes are counted. We aren't. And remember. Look, if Kavanaugh is confirmed to the Supreme Court, that this is just a number I saw. If you just look at it on a populational basis, and I know you're good, you like this data stuff, and I can't be trusted to decipher. But if Kavanaugh is confirmed to the Supreme Court, he will be confirmed by the will of 44% of the population over 56% of the population. The senators representing the people who oppose Brett Kavanaugh represent 56% of the population of the United States. John Cornholes and hateful old Orrin and Chuck Astley and the rest of that bunch, they represent roughly 44% of the population of the United States, Every time some Republican gets pissed off, they're going to cram it down our throats because they're constantly fascinated and fixated on things being crammed down their throats. But that's a real example of things being crammed down the nation's throat. Senators representing 56% of the population of this country say no to Brett Kavanaugh. 44%, the senators representing 44% of the country say, well, hell yeah, who cares if he groped her? It's not like she wasn't wearing a bathing suit.
See, Bob, this is where the primer comes in. Folks need to, and I agree with you, what you're talking about is the automatic built-in handicap in favor of the Republicans. And that is because, like, well, okay, so when I used to live in a large city, in a black neighborhood, my vote doesn't count as much as someone who lives in an exoburb or rural area. Their votes count more. And because and just flat, period. And then when you know, gerrymandering, okay, and voter suppression, see, you know, I like to use multi-prong. It's a multi-prong approach. Are you with me on that?
Yeah, I am. Go on.
Well, and this is why they don't want to do away with the Electoral College, because the way it's set up now, if you live in the exoburbs or you live in the suburbs or you live in a certain part of a nice part of downtown in the city, your vote is different than someone who lives in a majority-minority neighborhood because of the way districts are gerrymandered. You look at the map and the way these districts, they're not normal. And that's what happened in North Carolina. North Carolina, last year, the Supreme Court of North Carolina said surgically, it was a surgical, I'm paraphrasing, it was a surgical operation. It was deliberate. I mean, you look at how they just cut through neighborhoods, like, I mean, it's not that hard. You know, I mean, if you really want to be nefarious. So that's what they've done. And it's going to take a whole lot to undo that. And then, but the GOP knows it. And the underlings, you know, the normal folk, I don't think they understand. They think that what they say, like if you talk to these folks, like where I live, they're like, well, that's what we feel. And, you know, they're around their peers and they think everybody thinks like that. I'm like, you're the minority, though, and you're ignorant. I talked to the guy at the gas station. He's like, where you been? I was like, you know, I've been writing, doing my thing.
Hey, next time you get a good redneck, where you been? I got an answer for you to give him.
Okay.
Just to see, because they won't get it, and you'll have a little private giggle. Oh, walking up and down in the earth.
That'll shut the fuck up. Walking up and down in the earth.
Straight out of the King James Version. Because that's the oldest where you've been. That's the oldest where you've been in written language.
Walking up and down in the earth.
Yeah. Book of Job. God and the devil are sitting down to brunch, really. And God says, where have you been? And the devil says, oh, walking up and down in the earth.
Oh, man, I'm going to use that. Because he swears he's religious. Okay. I'll never forget that. Okay.
And then that's followed by, hast thou seen my servant Job and what an upright and goodly man he is? And that's when the shit hits the fan. Oh, yeah, I've seen him. Hell, you made him rich. Why wouldn't he love you? That's what's fascinating. This is a little bit of Wednesday stuff, but that's what's fascinating. I love the book of Job. Because God comes off like an absolute dweeb. A vicious, Kavanaugh-esque, little pissant dweeb through the whole book.
Mm-hmm.
And the best we know, it was written during the Babylonian captivity, when maybe the opinion of God was at a bit of an ebb.
What do you mean, Nebuchadnezzar? Under his own?
Yeah, you know, it got carried off. Mm-hmm. You know, the children of Israel.
Yeah. Now, I'm not a big Bible. You know, I just did enough to.
And
because
it's this long thing about why, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? And at the end of it, God says, well, you know, because I can. I'm God. I can fuck with you if I want to, and you still have to worship me. Fuck you. What, you want a donut?
Well, that sounds like, you know who?
A little bit. But it all starts with, hey, where you been? Yeah, walking up and down the earth.
I'll never forget that. I can't wait. He has a different car now. No one of his cars there. Yeah, so you know, and we bet a dollar, like, I don't know, a year and a half. I don't know, 2 years ago. And I was like, well, it looks like all you folks are either indicted or going to prison. He's like, no, but Hillary Clinton. He's like, you don't know, just wait, this is coming out. I'm like, come on, man.
17 words. 17 words, goddammit, 17 words. We are ready, Mr. President.
I'm just flabbergasted. So, you know, when they put this guy, and Mitch already told us what he's going to do. He's getting on it. This guy's going to be on the court. There's nothing we can do about it. He's going to be on the court. I mean, that's what I think. I mean, who am I? But that's what I think. But my
there's one wrinkle out there. You should be aware of this.
What?
A Montana senator, the other senator from Montana, the Republican senator from Montana. Steve Daines.
What?
Steve Daines of Montana, Republican. Well, this weekend, his baby girl is getting good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical Christian married to a man. And he's going to be there in Montana this weekend to walk his baby girl down the aisle so she can be involved in a good Christian marriage. And I bet they'll even say, who gives this woman away in marriage? And he will say, I do, for I am her father and she is my property.
Wait, is he using the wedding as an excuse not to vote?
Yeah, he can't show up.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, that's
so any delay tomorrow ruins Mitch's plans for this weekend. A reporter said Steve Daines has a scheduling conflict this weekend. He says he'll be walking his daughter down the aisle at her Montana wedding, regardless of the Kavanaugh vote that could take place this weekend.
Good for him. Good for him. His daughter. I like that. It's symbolism. See, he got lucky with that one, I suppose.
Well, yeah, and you know, it's just a property transfer. I mean, that's what the Bible sees it as. It is. And, you know, a couple of thousand years ago when they were doing the property transfer, the girl stood off to one side, and the daddy of the groom and the daddy of the bride stood and held each other's testicles while they swore an oath to God to honor the agreement.
You know, that's just
and there's a lot of unstated homoeroticism in the Old Testament.
Yeah. It's the Bible.
As far as gerrymandering is concerned, just a little north of you there in North Carolina, Stan, Ron points out, the vote in North Carolina is split at about 50-50. However, our congressional delegation is composed of 10 Republicans and 3 Democrats. Kind of hard to beat a stacked deck.
It is.
I mean, that's like trying to count cards into a 7-deck shoot.
I don't know. You know, I spoke. Mitch, I don't know, man. Mitch knows what he's doing. I don't know. I don't trust Susan Collins. She's like. I hate to use the word tease. It's not because it sounds chauvinistic and all that. But you know, she always like comes up to the line and goes, "I'm not sure. The water's too cold."
Pay attention to me. I voted for every rotten ass Republican proposal. Well, okay, 98-99% of them. I've voted with them. But I want you to call me a noted Republican moderate centrist. Because that's what I like.
How did she get away with that?
Because it's the trope that is advanced by the for-profit media for purposes of dramatic effect. Noted Republican moderate is the deus ex machina of the modern-day political... Because, see...
They ain't got nobody else. Who else is a moderate?
Well, Lisa Murkowski can be, as long as it doesn't have anything to do with, you know, oil.
She's an energy fiend. I don't tell you, I don't trust the Ohio guy, Kasich. I've been talking to some persons.
Oh, no. He's
a fucking snake.
Hey, look, 90% of what's been going on in the Trump regime, if it had been President Kasich, it would have been the same thing. Because, again, we come back to that fundamental thesis of trying to tease out the part of the evil that's Trumpian and the part of the evil that's just Republicans being goddamn Republicans. And frankly, there's a whole lot more of it that's just Republicans being Republicans. Witness Brett Kavanaugh. He's a soldier. He's always been a white-winged soldier. I mean, Donald Trump didn't have anything to do with his sordid questions about Bill Clinton's sexual proclivities or his argument to Ken Starr, we have to ask him all the really filthy ones because he's disgraced the office of the president.
Now, I want to go back to that.
He said that, you know. He said that, Todd. He said Bill Clinton disgraced the office of the president, but he stuck his nose right up Trump's orange hindquarters until he was orange and brown. That's my old high school colors, by the way. Orange and brown all the way up to his fucking eyebrows. With a guy who bragged about committing sexual assault. But you've never heard a fucking word from Brett Kavanaugh about how Donald Trump has disgraced the office of the president.
I don't know if it's true, but I've read that he never even tried a case, Kavanaugh.
No, he hasn't tried a case.
So he's just been basically a perfunctory partisan hack.
He's a partisan hack soldier. And then he got to work his way up through the operation into the White House during the Reign of Error, and he was like a deputy wartime consigliere.
See, we need a Bernays or a Luntz. We need somebody who can get this mess. We need to beat that to death. He has never tried a case. Simple folk can understand. He has never. A judge has never. What do judges do? They try cases.
Well, but no. Most of them haven't. Okay.
Fine. So what?
Well, no. That's actually a problem, Todd.
I know it is. They do it. Look, we cannot play fair anymore. They don't understand fair. Fair doesn't get us anywhere. Understand?
Yeah.
Smash mouth. I'm sorry. We're done with that. Being nice? Fuck that. Look at Mitch McConnell. He's got the nerve to talk about obstruction.
Oh, no. My personal favorite was, see, it's just like I predicted. I told you we'd do this report and we'd have the FBI investigate, and we done it, and we made sure they didn't talk to nobody that could do sweet little Brett any harm, and there they are, goddamn Democrats, standing there moving the goalposts again, saying, why didn't you actually talk to any fucking witnesses? I mean, Jesus Christ, there's no making them happy. I mean, he said that today.
I saw him. He had a nice tie on yesterday, but today he didn't look right. But anyway, yeah, you know, he is really the shit that comes out of his mouth. You know, his colon must be connected to his esophagus because it's so much shit.
Well, I know that man doesn't believe any heaven or hell because the bottoms of his feet would have been hot for about the last 20 years. Oh, and by the way, Agnes just did some research. Yeah, that op-ed attributed to Brett Kavanaugh is real.
Oh, God. That's supposed to be a respectable journal. That's not Breitbart.
I'm a daddy. You got to confirm me because I'm a daddy. And I want to go on coaching girls basketball because I love girls basketball. I love little girls. About 16, 17 years old. I love
him. Hey, your coffee friend tomorrow, he'll be talking, Joe will be talking about that tomorrow, the Wall Street Journal editorial. I'm quite sure he'll be talking.
Jesus, I know.
They talked about baseball. You got to go. I know.
Yeah, I know. Hey, Todd, I got to get out of here with the end of the program, brother.
End of the program. Listen, don't forget to drop those ribs off to Klansmen.
Oh, well, yeah. They're brining right now.
When you pick up the mail.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Bob.
We'll get Hey, you know what? The weekend's looking a little bit damp, but if it should turn out to be nice, I've made a commitment.
What'd you do?
Gumbo.
Oh, hell yeah.
Outdoor gumbo.
Got some nice rice?
I will. Might even splurge and spring for the basmati rice. Ooh.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. No, I bet you got. Oh no, you cannot get Kaneka. Well, you're gonna have to.
No, I've got a little bit of Kaneka left.
That's why you want to do it. Ooh-wee.
And I'll go and get some shrimp and some scallops and maybe a little fish.
Mm.
Little fish. Can't get any crabs. You know, gumbo's wonderful when you can float a couple of chopped crabs and cook them in it.
That sounds delicious.
Yeah, probably won't be able to do the shrimp or the scallops either. But you know, look, some sausage, a little chicken, a little ham hock.
Right.
Yeah, it'll be good. Oh, it'll be good, and spice it up real nice. Make a dark red brick roux. Iron pot.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. And then when Saturday, when the football game comes on, you'll be all ready.
Oh, yeah. I'll have the speakers in the studio turned up, and I'll be cooking outside. If.
Man, that sounds good.
If it doesn't rain. And that's looking possibly problematic.
Do you have some nice
weather? No, wait. It's changed. It's going to pour. Apparently, it's going to pour tonight and tomorrow. Maybe. But Saturday ain't nothing but sunshine, and neither is Sunday. Ooh! Ooh!
Are you in a valley, or are you like on a hilltop?
No, I'm up on top of a mountain.
Well, you get different weather than everybody else, maybe. I don't know. You know what I mean? 'Cause
yeah.
Valleys get different weather than when you're in a hole.
No, but it can pour here, believe you me.
God, man, you can't go wrong with gumbo, especially if it's starting to get cool out. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, the high.
How hot was it?
High Saturday's looking at 80. I mean, it's been warm here the last couple of days, but the nights are getting autumnally cool.
Okay.
I've been.
Are your leaves turning?
We're getting a little bit of color. I've seen some poplars going to gold, and I've seen some red flame tips at the very end of some trees, maples and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But we haven't got a full-on turn going yet. But we got so much rain this summer, I have a feeling we're going to have a lot of color.
It's been some strange weather and a lot of water.
Oh, and well, Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I talked with Tracy, and she's been doing some good cooking.
She was at a diner today, and it looked stopped at her favorite diner today, and that looked right tasty. No, I was going to tell you, I got a care package. I got 4 bags of community brand decaf coffee with chicory in the mail today.
Hell yeah.
And that is so much better than the Café Du Monde brand, because it tends to be fresher.
I think it was Louisiane's
good too.
But I don't remember a decaf, but I remember.
No, they don't. They don't. They don't. That's why I have to have this imported.
Yeah, because I was like, well, wait a minute. This is Louisiane. How come everybody doesn't drink this? This is like, you know, this is pretty good coffee. It doesn't have too much caffeine in it. It's kind of like you can drink it all day without getting jittery, you know. But, okay, I understand what you're saying. Man, that's rough. I know what you're going through, I guess, with the quality freeze-dried coffee quality coffee without the caffeine, period.
Well, you got to be real picky about your decaf if you're a decaf guy. You just do. Because most of it doesn't taste like coffee. Most of it tastes like melted brown crayon in hot water. Some of it tastes like Some of it tastes like melted tan crayon in hot water, and that's even worse.
If you had to choose the best, let's say you're in any city, USA, and you had to go to the coffee aisle and you had to get the freeze-dried granules of decaf.
I won't. If it's down to freeze-dried or nothing, I choose nothing.
Well, damn.
But as far as just like, it's getting really hard to, at least around here, the grocery stores don't stock a lot of loose coffee anymore. It's all those damn K-cups. As far as loose coffee is concerned, if I'm anywhere I can go to a Kroger's, I'll go to the Kroger's 100% Colombian Swiss water process decaf. If it's not Kroger's, probably Pete's decaf. And if I'm anywhere down south, it's got a Publix or maybe a Rouse's. God, I love Rouse's. Mm-hmm. Then it's that community brand coffee with chicory decaf. Awesome. Just awesome.
What is that, like Alabama, Georgia, Florida?
I don't know where. Rouse's is a Louisiana chain, and they're in Mississippi, and they're in Alabama. They opened their first one, I think, in Mobile. And then you know, for decaf drinkers on a general basis, the Folgers 100% Colombian decaf is pretty respectable. You know, Alexander just said, have you heard decaf coffee supposedly worse for you than regular caffeine? That's why I go with the water process, because I'm not into the formaldehyde. But no, it's not going to be worse for me than caffeine, because if I drink caffeine, bad things happen. Plain and simple.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, my heart going bloop, bloop,
bloop, bloop, bloop. Well, that's what I was going to say. Sometimes folks just can't have caffeine. You know, I have people around me who, and the kids like.
Well, as other people deal with other substances can say, in my misspent youth, I did too much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, midnight shift at the radio station, knocking down 2 and 3 pots a night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh God! Don't even. That's God. That's nice.
Because, you know, when you get to 4 and 5 o'clock, that's not morning drive yet, but it's close enough that you need to be up and perky.
And you're acting all, anyway, yeah, but, you know, too much of anything is not good. You got that right.
It's like the ancient Greeks said, all things in moderation.
Oh, Bob.
But I guess that includes moderation, which means you have to do something excessively once in a while.
Look, like last time I talked with you, I would be honest. I was drunk. Everybody knew I was drunk last time I talked to you. But, you know, it's funny. I'll be honest. I'm a heavy drinker, but I've never had a blackout. And that would scare the hell out of me if I ever had a blackout.
Well, it depends on how you define heavy drinkers. So.
Perhaps. She can drink, but, you know, I don't know if she ever had a blackout. Never. I don't think so. But maybe she has. I don't know. But that's like, I'm not trying to get off on tangent, but that's some, you know, I don't understand that. If you have blackouts, you really shouldn't be drinking, because the literature, you know, it indicates that if you have a blackout, then you're prone to have that again.
Most likely, really. Hey, just one last screaming thing on the way out the door.
Yeah.
Brett Kavanaugh has now been promoted to Jesus H. Christ.
Oh, fuck.
I think it was maybe Greg Gutfeld over on Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Democrats decided to crucify someone yet again. Huh, I'll be damned. How about that? The Sanhedrin and the Romans and everybody involved in the crucifixion of Jesus H. Christ are Democrats. Son of a gun, could have fooled me. I thought they were, never mind. Romans.
I know we got to go, but how do they overlook his demeanor in the exact venue, almost, where he's supposed to be?
Because they don't disapprove of it, Todd. They respect it. He was, you know, when he was shrieking at Dianne Feinstein and Amy Klobuchar, he was treating those women like they deserve to be treated, because it says right there in the Bible that they're supposed to fucking submit to him because they're women's.
You know what? You're right.
2 days ago, a guy called. I know you got a guy called in Washington Journal. He sounds like a white guy. I don't know. But he called Dr. Ford a slut.
Well, of course.
And I think we forget that this woman. See, I know you got to go, but damn it, people are. Everyone has value. However, come on, this woman. Now, I don't know if she's an adjunct or a full professor or what, and sometimes you work at two universities, but she's published. And you know, when you're in a university track, I don't know if she's tenured or anything like that. However, she does work on research, which means she's putting her grant money at risk. Everything's at risk. They don't want anything political around anybody who's working there. I mean, what more credible person could you put up? I don't understand it. I mean, but at the same time, there is no evidence, like I said, but still, it has nothing to do with that. Because are you beyond reproach? This is just like another nail in his coffin. His character is flawed. He is not Supreme Court judge material.
And there's a whole bunch of probably even better wing nuts, but they never wrote an opinion saying that the president can't be investigated. We got to get out of here, Todd. I'll talk to you later, my friend.
All right. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you. Have a good night, man.
See you, man.
Later. It's our buddy Todd calling from South Carolina, Stan, 11 minutes past the hour. Again, thanks going out to Brother Deacon Asa and Rusty and Brian and Henry for getting us down to $255 to go. That means tomorrow, $455 to finish the week and stay even with the first week of October. Crossing fingers. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our subscribers and everybody who jumps in during the program. Thank you to everybody who shares your precious finite time with this community, engaging in our little conversation. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you very kindly this evening to Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and always, 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 Gina. It's all for you. Later, y'all.